You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
One of the things that we're praying for, obviously, is that people would come to know Jesus, just in a new and fresh way, but not only that, that people would join a community of faith and we would walk towards eternity together. And then at the same time as well, we pray as well that God would help us as a church to be able to prepare laborers for the harvest. And so for me, like, I won't lie to you, the past couple of weeks I've just been glowing because these men that you just saw up here, for us as a church, we believe that we need to be preparing people for the work of the ministry. And for me, it was just like an amazing time to see them just stand and communicate and know as well that even in their spheres of influence, they get to communicate the gospel and also get to share that gift with us. So thank you so much, guys, for that. And at some point, I just hope you can put your hands together for them. Can we do that? Is that okay? Yeah. So let's just open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got some at the back. And if you don't have a Bible yourself, make sure you grab one of those. That'll be a gift to you from us. So Matthew chapter 13, we're looking at the parable of the sower, and we're going to be looking at the last soil, which is the good soil. But before I just kind of go in there, I just want to really kind of remind you what the main point of this parable is. The main point is that not everyone who hears the gospel believes it. Not everyone who hears the gospel, the good news of Jesus, what we've been singing about, not everyone who hears that the tab has been paid for them want to go and take the good news into their heart. And so we've been looking at these soils, and the reason why I say that is because if you rewind and go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, really these soils are about the kind of people that Jesus is saying, who then gets to make it into my family? Who then gets to make it in my family? And Jesus redefines what family is. And this is where we get the privilege and the honor of being called family by Jesus. Jesus calls us family in this passage in Matthew chapter 12. He says this, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man and who told him, he said this, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. And so here, what you get to see, Jesus redefines what family looks like. And I would love to camp there. And this really just needs to actually maybe change the way you view family. And the fact that, like, as much as God wants you to take care of the family he's planted you in, God has set us, and he's given us kids and taken, and he wants us to lead them in the ways of God. But God wants you to also prioritize this new family that he brings you into. This new family, he says, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? And here, basically, he gets to define this new family. This new family, this family that's going to live eternally together. He says, this is who it is. And so he's going to really help us to see what does it mean to do his will? What does it mean to do the will of the Father? And it's going to be displayed here in the last soil. But before I go there, let me just look at this. The first soil that we looked at, and just to recap and kind of catch up, this is what Jesus says. He says, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And so here he's going to show you the soil stands for our hearts. And the seed stands for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news here, Jesus is the sower and he is also the seed. He's also the seed. And so I want you to kind of just get to see. He gives us the interpretation here in verse 19. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, this is what birds are like. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And this is what was sown along the path. And so he's going to give us a picture of what it looks like for some people. They will hear God's word, but they are so distracted, and the devil just comes in and he takes the word away. And I always just tell people this. I'm a definition of what you'd call a foster kid. I moved to almost like to 12 to 13 households when I was growing up. Whenever my parents couldn't take care of us, they would give us to some relative. And one of the times they gave us to our grandparents, and we lived with them for 2 years. And they lived in the rural areas where they had fields upon fields. And one of the things that we had to do was to actually wake up at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning, work so hard, and then around 6-7 o'clock run and make sure that we go and we take a shower and then we go to school. But we would go into the fields and we would plow and we would work the fields and we would put the seed down. But what would happen is that we would put scarecrows in the fields, but then at the same time we were always fearful that the birds would take the seeds. And so what we would do, one of my chores was to go and sit on a big rock and be chasing these birds away from taking the seed. And I'm telling you, it was just very tedious. It was so hard, but at the same time, it's just like you're sitting in the sun, making sure that, and this was very important for us because we had to eat. We had to eat, and so that was one of my chores. And when the maize, the corn got to grow, after it had grown, you had to actually still stay up there. And you had a couple of dogs. You had to stay up there because the baboons would come down and they would take the maize and all that. And then after that, obviously you had to watch out as well for some cows that would actually break through the fence and eat that. And then it's just like, so you always had to protect that. And so you kind of get the picture here. It says the devil is like the bird that would come and snatch the seed and it doesn't take root. And then Davis really kind of gave, Gus kind of gave us what that looks like. He says this is like an intellectual assent to the gospel. Agreeing, and this is what even it looks like today in some of the schools where you'll find some people that are scholars in the Bible, they have PhDs, but they just don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe. So this is almost like a picture of what the Pharisees would look like. So if I was to use an analogy for this, it would be, another author used it in this way. He said, it's like those people that go and study the maps and they study the terrain. They study what the ocean looks like. They look at the pictures and they can be able to study and talk and be able to be experts of what the land looks like, but they've never walked it themselves. They've never walked it. And so this leads us to the next soil. He says others fell in rocky ground, right, where it does not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up and had no depth in the soil, but when the sun rose and scorched it, since it had no root, they withered away. And Jesus interprets it in verse 20. He says, for what was sown on rocky soil, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, and yet takes no root in himself, endures for a while when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, and immediately falls away. And so here, basically, like Davis pointed out. He pointed out that this is, if you study the background, when you just hear rocky soil, it's easy for us to think rocks the way we think of them. But if you really study the context and the Mediterranean terrain, it was actually like on top you would see the soil, but at the bottom there was this limestone that actually, like, so the ground just looked normal, but at the bottom there was this limestone. And it had this incubational kind of heat that would actually cause this seed to just spring up and be taller than the other seeds. And it's just like, it's a picture of what our hearts look like when we receive the gospel. And David kind of just painted this picture, and he said, those are people that have this emotional ascent of the gospel. This is where a lot of our churches are today. Where, man, we love that shebang, man. People are just getting, and I grew up in that. People coming and getting healed and coming and all that. And listen, I grew up and I worked for a church where it's very evangelistic. But, man, what was so hard is, like, getting those same people back and getting to disciple them. It was so hard. It was so hard. And here Jesus at least gives us a picture of there's a way we can have an emotional ascent of the gospel. And Jesus kind of gives you this picture in Luke 10. For me, this really set me free. Luke 10, verse 20, Jesus gives the disciples authority. He sends them out, and they go and they cast demons out. They go, and Jesus actually even says, listen, I saw the devil himself fall from the sky, quoting Isaiah. He says, I saw him quoting. But as soon as they are so rejoicing, he says, listen, but don't rejoice over that too much. Rejoice over this one thing, that your name is written. And what really he was cluing them into, this saved me a lot in ministry. Because I realized that if it was all the shebangs of ministry and everything, if I come up here and do my acrobatics and preach and everybody says, oh my gosh, you are so amazing. And then next week I come back and I preach and no one comments on that. Let me tell you, I used to be like that. The next day I'd be, that's why they say that preachers want to commit suicide a lot on Monday. And basically what Jesus was saying was that if you use the result as your identity, it's going to mislead you. If you use just the emotions as your identity, emotions don't weather the storms. But you need to rejoice over this one thing, that your name is written. You know what he was calling them? That you are a son. And that this never moves. Whether you perform or you don't perform, on a good day or bad day, this never moves. Amen? And so that I'm going to move on. I'm probably going to get excited and dig in. And this basically, like, this really just kind of, if you were to see my analogy, and this is not the people that stay at home and describe the map. These are the people that take the journey. They take the journey and they go and they smell the ocean and all that, and they come back amazed, but slowly but surely the smell starts to fade. It starts to fade and they start forgetting the experience that they had. So basically you need the intellectual, you need the picture to keep looking at it, but you also need the experience. All these are valuable for the Christian walk, amen? They're valuable, but they're not sufficient on their own. They're not sufficient on their own. And last week, Scott looked at the third soil, which is Jesus kind of saying, other seeds fell amongst the thorns and grew up and choked them. And the thorns grew up and choked them. And as for what was sown amongst the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke them, and it proves unfaithfulness. And so for me, like, I'm going to use a big word because this is where I grew up. I believe this is what I would call a syncretistic understanding of the gospel. Syncretistic understanding of the gospel. I see some people are just looking at me weird, like, what do you mean by this? It's a reconciliation or a fusion of different systems of belief. So now I'm gonna just kind of help you. One of the biggest problems I back home in Africa, syncretism is a big deal. It's a big deal, and in America as well, it is a big thing. So this is what actually, like, if I was to bring it down, this is always having a backup plan. It's a Jesus and something else. Jesus and something else. So for us, this is what I grew up in a household that was that we went to church every. I grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist, and as a kid, they taught me the stories of Jesus, and for me, that's how the gospel started taking root somehow. But let me tell you this: my mom started having HIV/AIDS and all that stuff. The African Christianity sometimes is like this. In the good times, you're going to church and everything, but when hard times hit, you would go in the back door and you'd go to the witch doctor. You'd go, and it's almost like you have this backup plan, right? It's almost like here, faith plus credit card, right? Faith plus something else. Faith, that's actually what you get to see here is that he says the thorns grew and they choked the word. And the cares of the world, they seem to sometimes they overtake us. So, and Scott just defined it in an amazing way last week. He said, "This is what it is, and this is what the cares of the world are what the good and the right gifts that we assign value that was never intended for them. When we assign them value and we think they are all that we need, they start choking us." So let's just kind of jump into our last soil here, and you will get to see why I get to spend this time, because our last soil is a contrast to all of these. So let's look at the good soil. It says, still the other seed fell on good ground, right? Produced fruit, and some 100, some 60, and some 30. 30 times what was sown, and let anyone who has what ears hear, right? And so Jesus kind of gives us the interpretation of that. When he gives us, he says this, as for what was sown on good soil, this is what the one who hears the word understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold and another 60 and another 30. So what is this good soil? A good soil is the heart that understands. It's the heart that understands. And the word understand here is when you go deep down and you see how it was used. And I like going into how the words were used. And you have to actually understand why this is very important to go. We will just say, do you understand me? And somebody will say, yes. But really, do they understand you? So as just another, just like side little note, it's very important to understand words in the context they were said. Because, for example, like somebody 2,000 years later reads a letter where if I write my wife and say, hey, I'm rolling to the house real quick and we're going to get to chill, right? And I just say that. 2,000 years later, somebody's going to wonder what I meant by chill. You know what I mean? And it might actually have a totally different meaning then. And that word understand, let me kind of just... It's the word that it means to unite. The ones that hear God's word and it is united with their heart. And all of a sudden, it's almost like this is where we get the word marriage from. They hear the word and they understand. So that's the key word in there. So it's God graciously sowing, and God literally just doing that. And this is where the miracle of salvation happens. This is where the miracle of something happening in your heart that couldn't even happen on your own happens right here. Right? Because we know what the Bible says about the heart. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. It says that this is what it says. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. You think anything can deceive you? Your heart is just like, it will tell you you're fine when you're not fine and desperately sick. Who can understand it? But look at who understands that heart. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deed. And this is why the cross was important for us, because he searches the heart and he says, listen, I wish I could give them what they deserve, but I'm going to give them what they don't deserve, which is grace. And David, as a man, this is what God says. David is a man after my own heart. And he kind of just like, and I saw there's this trend in David that keeps on crying, God, do something about my heart. Do something. And I'm praying that this will be a cry for us as well. Look at Psalm 51, verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. In Psalm 86, verse 11, he uses the same word that understand means. He says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Look at this. Unite my heart. Unite my heart. Help my heart to understand so that I may fear, so that I may have reverence for you. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me. So David is continuously going before God and saying, God, you are the one who knows my heart. And my heart, David was crying this, I want my heart to be good soil. And only you are the expert on my heart. Only you are the expert on my heart. And so we get to see this getting played out. And look at verse 15 of Matthew chapter 13. It says, this is what Jesus says. He says, for this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear. And their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if only they can hear. And this is where basically like, and God's helped us kind of pull it back, because the center of this is Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, 28, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy, and I will give you rest. And I will open up your heart, and I will help you to understand. This is what he is simply saying. So this is what basically we need to be doing today. Asking God and saying, reveal where my heart is. If it's dull, could you make it alive again? Right? And that word dull, it means to be, it's rich in something. Rich in something else. This is why Jesus looks at the rich young ruler and says, it's impossible for the ones that are rich to enter the kingdom of God. If you are rich, and I would like to qualify that, it's not only just being rich in money, it's being rich in everything else. So if we're looking, if you're totally rich in intellectual ascent to the point that it becomes all that it is, you will totally miss Jesus. If you're totally rich in the emotion, and you neglect all the other things, you might totally miss Jesus, right? The storms of the sun will come scorched. If you are totally rich in the thorns and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, which is where we put our young ruler, you might actually. And so this is the word. It says they've grown dull, right? And this is what Jesus simply says. He says, lest they should hear. They should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. And this is what we get to see. David's picked up a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36 where God promises to his new covenant community that he is going to give us new hearts, right? New hearts that will understand him. So this is what the Spirit does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, it says, if any man dares just to step into Christ, believe everything that he has done, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This is what the scriptures help us with. So God gives these new hearts and new ears and new hearts. And so I want you to kind of get to see, lest they should hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. And so he is the one that helps us. And all we have to do is to come to him and ask him for, God, I recognize that my heart is not soft towards you. Could you help me in this? And he awakens our hearts. Amen? He awakens our hearts. And so you get to see this kind of getting played out. I like the most is the Apostle John. And he uses this same language. Look at John chapter 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. He says, look at this. He will use that same language. He is saying, this is what Jesus did for me. That which we have seen with our eyes, talking about Jesus, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, Jesus as the word of the life was made manifest. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father, right? Which was prostantheon, which was like equal with the Father, right? And was made manifest to us. He's talking about Jesus. That which we have, look at this, seen and heard. We have seen him and we have heard. And so therefore we turn around and we proclaim to you, right? Proclaim to you. So you get to see this gospel and mission, and we proclaim to you. Look at this. So that you too may have fellowship with us. You see this community? So that you may too. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, the Son, and Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. And I love this because it's helping you to get to see that our joy is complete when we totally hear Jesus, when we allow it, when we check in our hearts in him and we say, teach me. And when we check in our hearts with him, he totally takes our hearts and he transforms them from the inside. And how does this transformation happen? So I want to show you even just another characteristics of a good soil. The good soil is a heart that repents. It's a heart that repents. And so if you get to see there, he says that he says, lest they should hear they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their what? With their heart. And look at this. And after they do that, after they hear, they are characterized by repentance, and they what? And they will turn, and I will heal them. So this is what's very important. It's repentance becomes a key ingredient to what this good soil looks like. It hears, it unites with what God is saying, and it turns at the warning of God's voice. And what repentance is literally just to turn. And I love when you get to see this word here. It's actually like it's to turn and move towards. To turn and move towards. It's not only just turning, it's turning and moving towards Jesus and moving towards Jesus. And that's where you get to see that cry, come to me. And so this actually what, come to me, and you hear and you understand, and all of a sudden, as a result of that, you start acting on that word. It's an active term, and hearing and understanding will not leave you stationary. It will lead you, it will cause you to turn and move towards him. Move towards him. So this is what a picture, the picture that we get to see. And turn, and I will heal them. He then promises that when they do turn, and then I will heal them. And this is what we get to see. Whether they were those people that were only just relying on their intellectual assent, he says, I will tell them, turn them, and I will heal them, and I'll cause their ground to be soft. Just like he promises in Isaiah, in Ezekiel chapter 36, I will remove the heart of stone, and I'll put what? The heart of flesh. Lest they should turn, and I will heal them. What do they have? Do they have thorns in their lives? If they turn, I will heal them. I will remove. And then all of a sudden, just like Scott said, all of a sudden I will show myself to them as glorious above all these things. And I love just really Martin Luther, one of the reformers, who really just kind of, for me, just like, there's a time when the church is turning, is continually, for example, the Bible is not being read by anyone. It's only just read by special people. And so he is probably one of the first people, and he gets threatened for his life. And for me, I love this great cloud of witnesses because we get to benefit a lot. So Martin Luther gets exiled a couple of times just so that he could go. And he goes and he's stuck at this castle and he is translating scripture and he's translating scripture, making copies available to people. And one of the things that because the scriptures were only read by just the select few, and the Pope all of a sudden was, his word was called, he was raised up to being infallible. And this is where basically the rescue for us happened, where it says, no, it's by grace alone, by scripture alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what, like, basically it all is. It's not just these individuals. And Martin Luther, in his 95 Theses, the first point on that, he says this. He says, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And I love that because what he's just simply, he was simply saying that all of a sudden the church was now turned into everything else because all of a sudden we were not maintaining that good soil. And he's saying it's a characteristic there of just a good soil to continually repent. And so we get to see here what's going on. That a Christian life is, for example, is when God reveals something in me, is to continually just to return and run towards him. To return and run towards him. And so the last characteristic of this is that good soil bears fruit. So the good soil hears and understands. The good soil turns and continually runs to him. And the good soil bears fruit. And so if you see Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, it says, for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understand it, indeed bears fruit, yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30, in another 30. Now, I just want you to see the confidence that Jesus has here. There's a confidence that he says, he indeed bears fruit and yields. He says, this is what the characteristic is. The good soil indeed. This is, surely he does this. This is what he will do. And he's kind of helping us to get to see that there is no barren Christian, basically. There's no barren Christian. We're meant to be continually bearing fruit. And he is confidently saying that this is what happens. And we get to see some variations here. In one case, 100-fold. In another case, 60. Another case, another one, 30. And this really kind of bothered me. And I want us to kind of just spend a few minutes. What really was happening there? How does one get to bear more than the other? What's really going on in there? What's going on there? And for me, 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 kind of shed some light in this. Let me read you this, and I'll take you through this as quick as I can now. In a large house, and I want you to kind of get it. He is writing about believers, and so just I want you to just imagine what's going on here. He's writing about believers, and he says this. Now, in a large house, like your house, right? Your house, they are not only gold and silver vessels, right? This stands for your china in your house, right? Your china, right? The one that, like, you don't touch until special occasions. But also there is wood and clay, right? This is like your plastic cups. This is like your cups that you just use for anything, your paper plates, right? And he says, for if anyone, listen to this, purifies himself, right? If anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart. Listen to this. Set apart and useful to the master. Right? This is what the scripture says, that we're instruments of righteousness, prepared for every good work. And so how do we do that, Paul? And then he's going to say in verse 22, flee from youthful passions, but as you run away from these things, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, right? And alongside with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And so I want you to kind of get to see here. He says that there's two types of people. There's two types of Christians, two types of vessels that God uses. Look at this, the two types of vessels. And one of them can be according to how we continually hear and turn and continually bear fruit. He says that this is what happens. All of a sudden, we become what he calls honorable vessels for his special use. And for me, this is so humbling, because this is like, God, you mean that? And this is what he comes and he does. Moves us from being dead to sin, from dead in sin, and moves us into what he calls vessels of honor. Paul is going to use the same kind of saying as well. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says that now we have this treasure in what? In jars of clay. That God takes his treasure, puts it inside us, and he moves. And he says, so that what? So that the glory may be, it may be from God, not in us, right? And I want you to get to see, he says here, what these people get to do. These are regenerate people, and you can either just be entangled by all these things around you, and then all of a sudden, you're going to just be like that wooden vessel for ordinary use. Yes, you will bear fruit, but it might not be as much. But there are those that continually listen, hear, purify themselves, move forward, and you get to see here what's going on. So you get to see here what's going on. And how do we purify ourselves? Here, he says, flee from youthful passions. Anything that's like youthful passions, flee from it. But I want you to get to see that the fleeing is also tied to your pursuit. The fleeing is also tied to pursuit, right? Turn around, but also pursue. This is what's going on. They're pursuing righteousness. They're pursuing faith. They're pursuing love. And I want you to get to see what's happening here, what's happening as they pursue. When you pursue righteousness, it extinguishes all unrighteousness as light extinguishes the dark. And when you pursue faith, you're rejecting the system that makes you get tempted to act in unbelief, right? And you're taking in God's word over and over, and it's upon realizing this that all of a sudden you're fleeing from the lies. And then not only that, the love of God, you're pursuing the love of God, and it comes in, and you're just continually moving, and because you've been loved first by your maker, you get to know God and pursue him even more and more. And this will bring the shalom of God, the peace of God. And he's saying that as you are doing this, you'll be prepared for every good work. Prepared for every good work, according to our scripture. And here I want to kind of make a plug in. I want you to see here, there's a saying here. It's not only just fleeing and pursuing righteousness, but this is also done in community. Look at this. Alongside with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Alongside with those. And so that's why we need each other as a church body, where we come alongside each other. And how do we then get to continually become good soil and continually maintain this good soil removed? Because I won't lie to you, one of the things that we had to do when we were sowing these seeds, one of the things we had to do is that we had to go in between all these lines, and we had to go in and we had to take, we had to uproot all these weeds because the weeds are indigenous to what? To the soil. They just spring up anyway. And we had to go and continually uproot them and remove them so that the seeds could grow. And this is what community is all about. Brother, I'm struggling. Pray with me. And you pray with me all of a sudden, and all of a sudden we lock arms with each other. And so what you get to see, he says that you flee from youthful passions, you pursue righteousness, but you do it alongside with people, right? And this right here just kind of planted an image for me. Like it's like flying like geese, right? Have you seen what geese do? Right? They fly long distances. And they fly together. Each goose provides an additional lift and reduces the air resistance for the goose behind it. Right? And then it continually, and when one just drops out of that V formation, what happens is that it quickly discovers that it requires more and more energy to fly. And so it will come in back. And so they continually rotate leadership. And for me, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, this is where, for example, the gifts that we have continually, you have this gift and I have this gift and you have this gift, and we continually rotate, we edify the body one another, right? And they alert each other and they help each other, right? When they get, and so that they can get to the destination, right? And I believe that this is how you get to bear fruit. Alongside, when you lock arms and you covenant with brothers and sisters and you move, you motivate one another. This is why Paul would write, if you believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, he would write in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, let us not neglect what? To gather one and stir one another to what? To continually pursue God. This is how we get to bear fruit. We get to bear fruit when we get to see the gospel being fruitful around us. And this really just gets to who then is the gardener who brings, and like what David said, what we just need to realize is that in order for us to do this, if I'm fleeing from youthful passions and I'm pursuing righteousness, peace, and all these things, who then embodies all this? And for us, that's why it's the gospel. It's in Jesus that he embodies all that. And in Jesus, we find a fulfillment of all this. Who then has all righteousness? We have to ask ourselves here and say, who has righteousness upon righteousness? It is Jesus. So he's the one that we get to pursue. Who is the one who had faith upon faith, believed God? Even, listen to this, Psalm 16 says this. He says that he trusts, Psalm 16 and Psalm 22, it says that he trusted God so much that God even put him in the grave. He believed God was going to raise him from the dead. He trusted. He gave away his trust, and he believed in Jesus, in God, all that he could, right? And not only that, who is the epitome of love? It is Jesus. Who is the epitome of peace? It is Jesus, right? And so we are meant to be pursuing Jesus, fleeing away from this thing, pursuing Jesus over and over and over. And he, as this great gardener, right, he's going to continually make us productive so that we may bear 100-fold. We may bear even more. And so for us, let me kind of just talk to you what this really means for us. It means that as a church, we want to make sure we gather around the gospel, because the gospel continually changes us. And want to make sure that we're united by the gospel as a community, and continually check our hearts in together as a community, motivate one another to continue to say, Jesus changes. And when we come together and we sing, he does wonders amongst us. But at the same time, we want to collectively bear fruit, and we want to stir one another towards bearing fruit. And this is why, for example, next week you're going to get to see, we're going to be talking, it's called Offense Sunday. It's often Sunday, and we're wanting to motivate each other and say, guys, what could it look like if collectively we could make a difference in the ones that Jesus really cared about the most? The widows and the orphans. What would that look like? But all that there is that so that we can, as a group of people, gather before God together, and he could say, City Church, well done, good and faithful servants. You yielded much fruit, right? And I just went and met with Big Brother, Big Sister. Some of you guys know about Big Brother, Big Sister. And just speaking specifically to men, they have 30 boys that are waiting just for somebody to come and spend an hour and a half with them once a week just to become an influence upon their lives. And let me tell you, you go there with the Spirit of God inside you, you might plant seeds of change. And for me, that's what bearing fruit might look like. And then on a global scale, when you give every Sunday, we're giving, we're putting a percentage of what we give is going towards church planting. And right within our network, at the end of this year, we're looking, we've planted so far 600 and almost 50 churches all across the globe. All across the globe. And for us, I just want heaven to surprise us, church. I want heaven to surprise. So as you make a commitment to give, I want heaven to surprise. I want, right now we're planting some churches in Turkey and in Eastern Europe. I want heaven to surprise us. We, right now, X29 is feeding orphans in the ones that are coming from refugees from Syria. I want heaven to surprise us. I want, and right now, X29 is planting the churches in Africa. Is planting churches in China. I want heaven to surprise this little church in Williamsport. When a Chinese person gets to walk up to you and say, thank you so much, it's because you gave and you sent these missionaries to come in and they served me and they showed me Jesus. That's what bearing fruit is all about. That's what bearing fruit is all about. So, church, this is what we're all about. So let me just ask you to stand. Let me ask you to stand, and I'm going to pray for you. Our main goal is just to become this good soil that continually bears fruit. If I could really get into your head for a second, one of the most amazing seasons ever was harvesting season when I was growing up. Running into the fields and getting all that, after you've worked so hard chasing all these animals. And not only that, I know that like there's some in the right close to the national parks, man, like guys, they would, if an elephant would get in and trample on all their produce, you would walk in and you would see just literally nothing. And so there was a joy that came with, there was a joy upon joy that came with just standing and getting to see as you're holding one maize cob after another, and you're taking them and you're putting them in the silo, and you knew that you had food to eat for the next year. And so for us as a church, we want to be good soil. We want to be good soil. We want to be good soil where people could come in and find hope in Jesus. And we haven't done this in the past weeks, but let me just ask you, what kind of soil are you? Where are you? What has Jesus revealed about your heart? And this would be a time as we sing this song where you could actually just say, I recognize all these other tendencies. I want to be good soil. Holy Spirit, could you come? Could you come as the great gardener and come and just cultivate my heart? And turn it into good soil. And when you do that, let me lock my arms up with the body of Christ and let's travel and let's run as fast as possible as a church and let's bear fruit. And let heaven surprise us. when we get to see the fruit that is that comes out of our church. So Jesus, we ask you. So right where you are, this will be a time for you to just respond to Jesus. Say, soften my heart. I believe what you have done for me at the cross, and I welcome it today. Let him do that surgery in your heart. The best you know how, and wherever you are, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, a believer who has maybe fallen into some tendencies or sin that is besetting you, the best you know how, ask him for the power to turn and to pursue him. And some believers, maybe this has to just, maybe you have to ask yourself, how do I yoke myself with Jesus and the church to bear more fruit? Maybe he's calling you to serve. Maybe he's calling you to give. Maybe he's calling you to talk to your neighbors. Maybe he's calling you. What is he asking you to do? Just ask him to cultivate your heart, to become good soil so you can bear fruit. And if you do not know Jesus today, this is a good day to get to know him. So Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness over us. God, like we sang earlier on, your promises are yes and amen. Your promises are yes and so be it. So there's no one who is in this room who desires a new heart that, Lord, you would deny them today, God. Because your promises are yes and amen. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Like Paul says, he says, you who begins a good work. And I pray that today, Lord, you would begin a good work in us. You'd begin a good work in every single person in here. You would begin a good work. And to some people, Lord, that you would prove yourself faithful to continue this good work. And Lord, that you would sustain it until the day of Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.